Another baby. A blue one. How could that be? She remembered the second urge to push, and tension beneath David's voice like rocks in white water. But the infant in her arms was perfect, beautiful, more than enough. "It's all right," she had told David, stroking his arm. "It's all right." It was not until they left the office, stepping tentatively into the chill, damp air of the next afternoon, that the loss had finally penetrated. It was nearly dusk, the air full of melting snow and raw earth. The sky was overcast, white and grainy behind the stark, bare branches of the sycamores. She carried Paul. He was as light as a cat, thinking how strange this was, to take an entirely new person to their home. She decorated the room so carefully, choosing the pretty maple crib and dresser, pressing the paper scattered with bears onto the wall, making the curtains, stitching the quilt by hand. Everything was in order. Everything was prepared. Her son was in her arms. Yet at the building entrance, she stopped between the two tapering concrete pillars, unable to take another step. "David," she said. He turned, pale and dark-haired, like a tree against the sky.
"What?" he asked. "What is it?"
"I want to see her," she said, her voice a whisper, yet somehow forceful in the quiet of the parking lot. "Just once, before we go, I have to see her." David shoved his hands in his pockets and studied the pavement. All day, icicles had crashed from the zigzag roof. Here they lay shattered near the steps.
"Oh, Nora," he said softly, "please just come home. We have a beautiful son."
"I know," she said, because it was 1964, and he was her husband, and she had always deferred to him completely. Yet she could not seem to move, not feeling as she did, that she was leaving behind some essential part of herself. "Oh, just for a moment, David, why not?"